Hey, it's Willard from Willard and Dibs coming up at 2 o'clock today. Now back to the Joes on the morning roast. Shasky, you're my guy, but calm down.
Give me the old baby.
Oh! Baby! It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's pretty good old chords. Baby there.
I only did it for love, man. Don't ask me for another
one. Well done, B.
I only needed the one. It is the crossover. I got Evan Giddings, Bonte Hill joining myself, Sam Blumen, and Carter Chickering. And if we're playing We Ready, you know it's because it's a big game coming up. And we have got a massive one tomorrow night. Niners hosting the Seahawks. We've been talking about it most of the morning here on the Morning Roast, Carter and I. And we've been talking about just the big question we would ask is just what has you feeling confident about this game tomorrow night between the Niners and Seahawks? You know, whether it's the quarterback play on both sides, defense, offense. I want to throw it at you guys. Evan, you're going to be doing the pregame show with Lowe tomorrow.
Sure.
Right now, what has you feeling confident about this game?
Well, I do want to get into that, and we can obviously talk about the big game and everything that's going on. But first and foremost, happy 2026, fellas.
You too, Adam.
You guys got any resolutions? Are we bettering ourselves? How are we feeling on
Absolutely
this Friday?
Not.
I got paid today? What's going on?
I'm kind of perfect, so I don't need to change anything, so it's all good.
Well, I know you're feeling yourself because of that shirt.
All about the you.
Yeah. No, but come on, man. It's, you know, it's a time to turn a new leaf, right? We're all different people now.
You seem changed.
Yeah, I know. Why do we wear buttons today? I don't know.
That's why. We got professional Evan in the house.
I'm just confused because it's the start of 2026 and I somehow ended up here on a Friday, a day after New Year's Day. So money must
shocked.
Be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm shocked too. How did the Heat get me in the building? Double dipping today with the Warriors and Thunder. Doing a show with Evan?
You had the chance to do the crossover with Carter and I. That was probably what really sealed the deal, right?
Yeah.
100%.
Probably. Yeah, I knew Lubman and Carter was in. Actually, I thought Shasky was in. Of course, Shasky doesn't work holidays, right?
No chance.
Franchise players don't do that.
I didn't know today was a holiday.
Don't you get the 2 days off? Like, this is where Dan Dibley, I don't know if Dibs in today because he usually does like the
No, it's Grandy and Sterling today.
Grandy and Sterling. Oh,
yeah. Basically
Sterling.
A four-hour, nine-hour overtime.
Is Sterling in studio?
Probably not.
No.
Oh, because I got a lot to say to him, man. He's been wearing those 49er pom-poms pretty tough, man. Well, they can do no wrong.
It's been a good year for it. I mean,
I can't hate it. All right.
No, it's fun, man. We got B in the house. This is the first time we'll get to do a show together. I mean, we do shows off the air all the time and stuff like that. And it's always good to see him at Warriors games. But we finally get to rock the mic together. So I'm pumped.
I'm excited to hear your guys' Warriors conversations, too. Obviously, Evan, you've really taken off with your coverage of the Warriors doing the game the other night. You've been killing on the pre- and post-game shows. And, of course, when you talk Warriors pre- and post, I mean, this is the dude right here. So, no, I'm very excited. You guys got Steve Kerr at, what, 11:30 as well?
I think he's going to be, 11:30? Yeah, thank you, Pasta.
So, no, I'm very excited to hear what you guys have to say on that one.
Yeah, Coach Kerr, and then we get Softy. From the Dick Show.
Keep up the good work, Pasta.
Yeah, well,
it was Bonte.
Yeah, I wanted
to give someone else credit.
I mean, Pasta's done nothing. I mean, you want to talk about earning some free money. Stealing money day. That is the definition of stealing money today. Evan, have we even talked to Pasta today?
Well, you know, he's rocking the A's hat, so he's on my good side today. Yeah. The thing was, so Bonte walks in, he goes, you know, what do we got? We're talking, you know, Niners, get some Warriors. We're going to talk a little college football, too. Just whatever we want, right? It's a feel-good Friday. People are outside having a good time. So he goes, how do you feel about Softy? I'm like, I love Softy. Been on with him a couple times. This dude just calls him and says, hey, Softy, I need you. 2 minutes later, 1 o'clock. I'm like, that's how it's done. That is how it's done,
ladies
and gentlemen.
It's a go-getter.
He's a go-getter.
Years of building relationships.
Yeah.
That's all that is. And you just call him. I'm a call guy. I'm not a text guy. When I want to talk, when I want something done, I just call you.
Yeah, I like that.
I text Lubman, but sometimes he doesn't reply. I gave him congratulations for Miami beating Ohio State. Left me on red.
He didn't pick up.
But if I would have called him, maybe I would have got the pick up and we would have talked some shop.
Hey, hold on. You have red receipts on?
No, he doesn't.
There's
a
couple people
buddy.
That have red receipts. Yeah, I'm like, really?
I try to turn mine off. I don't want people to know whether I'm looking at your messages or not, but I don't know. Maybe I don't have them on. But
The people who keep them on are doing it on purpose to like be like, yeah, I read your thing. You're not as important, you know?
Yeah.
You're not important enough for
me to
respond
to. I know somebody who has their red receipts on.
Oh, I do too, right actually. Here, yeah. Good call.
Well, you got to keep them on for a few select people, but the majority of you you Yahoos, no chance.
No. Yeah, I don't want to know what you're doing.
You'll know when and if I get back to you. Honestly, though, I'm a terrible texter. I'm not like B. I don't pick up the phone and call as much, but I'm bad on the phone, man. It's gotten worse progressively. That's my resolution in 2026. I got to be better getting back to people, no doubt.
No, that's not a red. Evan. Yeah, I kind of like that too. You get old. You get older, Carter. You're about to be a father. You're gonna learn. Like you're gonna be in the middle of a text, and your child's just gonna come around. Hey, papa, papa, and you're gonna forget about what you were doing. And then 2 days later, somebody's like, "Yo, why come you didn't hit me back? Man, I got sidetracked." And then they don't believe you. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough resolution to stick by.
Well, you guys have kids, and you will have a child. So you have an excuse already built in no matter what.
I know.
I don't really have excuses.
We're just lazy,
Exactly. What's your resolutions? Carl, I'm going to hear from Carter.
Oh, no, I got to figure out some resolutions right now. I didn't really write any down, so I guess my resolution is to have a resolution. How's that for just really thinking things
Evan
through?
Evan just gave me mine. Mine's going to be to decline more phone calls going forward, honestly.
Decline?
I'm not readily available to you. Like, I'm not. It's just, I'll text you back when I get to it, you know?
No, my resolution is that we have a resolution with Kuminga in the next 6 weeks.
Oh,
I like that.
That's
like
probably
that. A four.
We'll probably get that at some point in some way, shape, or form. What are they going to get for him? I've seen the Anthony Davis rumors popping up again. I don't know how to feel about that.
Anthony Davis rumors.
I looked at those. He's appeared in 69% of games played, regular season games played, since the bubble championship.
Nice.
And it is nice, right. But like, if I told you, you know, the Warriors are going to get Anthony Davis and he's going to appear in 69% of the games that he will be employed. Are you taking that? Are you confident in that? I just don't like the theory of Anthony Davis makes sense to me. The actual practice of having him on the team, that's where I kind of get like, I need him on the court, and I just don't know if he will be.
Evan and I were talking about the contract.
Yeah.
Well, in the summer of 2027, he's eligible for his supermax 4 years, $275 million deal.
I don't know if I want to give him that.
He turns 33 in March.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You sure you want to bite the bullet there? And then who are you trading to get Anthony Davis? Now, again, the report for Sam Amick of The Athletic, the Mavericks initiated a conversation, not the Golden State Warriors. The Mavericks did, which tells me that they're looking to move off of AD because they have intel that, yeah, we don't trust that AD can remain healthy and be an impact player for us moving forward. So coming from the Mavericks' point of view, yeah, they're trying to move off of AD, but why would the Warriors do that if they're not ready to move off some of their core players being Draymond Green or Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, I think it comes down to what you can get for what you have. I mean, that's the whole reason Jimmy Butler's a Golden State Warrior, is because they were able to buy low on a salty superstar who broke up with his ex, and Miami got out of that. So the Warriors were better off for it, obviously, because he helped them get to the second round of the postseason last year. I'm not in the boat that there's a player like that out there this year, but in the next 13 days between now and when obviously Kuminga is available to be traded, and that's a chip you probably use if you're going to go out and get somebody worth big money, maybe there is a player like that emerges. I mean, who knows? Maybe Milwaukee has a 6 out of 7 slide, you know, in the next couple weeks. It's like, you never really know how things are going to work out in the NBA until they do. I was on the Jimmy Butler wagon last summer, but once the season started, I didn't realize that that was a possibility until the rumors started floating around a few days before, because remember, he wanted to go to Phoenix. He didn't want to go to Golden State, but that was a place where he could get his money. So I just feel like things happen really fast, and the Warriors right now are in a position where they can maybe choose if they want to do it or not. We're going to talk to Steve about it at 11:30, but they also happen to be playing their best stretch of basketball since the beginning of the season.
Yeah, do you want to screw this up right now? You know what I mean?
Well, screwing what?
Well, I just mean, like, they've won 5 of the last 6. So it's just like,
oh, they're getting hot.
As I said, like, for me to make this decision right now and to say, yeah, bring in Anthony Davis, I just can't do. I got to get to the 15th first and see where they're at. It's just, you know,
how'd they turn the corner? That's something we'll ask Steve. No, as you mentioned, they've won 5 of 6, but how have they looked? The Raptors game still sticks to me. Yeah.
It's funny, though, Bonta, we focused more on that loss than we have on this 6-game stretch.
Right, exactly. And look, the Brooklyn win was nice, but Brooklyn doesn't have a deep bench. Mm-hmm. They still turn the ball over. Charlotte, look, it was a good win for the Warriors. They still turned the ball over, and they gave up 125 points in that basketball game. And Charlotte was getting it to any spot they wanted to on the floor. So point-of-attack defense is still an issue. But 10 of the next 11 are at Chase Center. And the one road game is against Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, who are red hot right now. They've won 6 in a row on Kawhi.
He's been
doing no wrong. This next 11, this stretch right here, 10 of the next 11. And by the end of the stretch, we'll be, what, it'll be January 20th, 21st or whatnot. So Kuminga would be eligible to be traded. We're going to find a lot about this basketball team over the next 11 games. And then I'm willing to answer, okay, have they turned a corner? Are they really a contender in the Western Conference? Can they catapult themselves into the top six, knowing that the Lakers can't play any defense and they're losing games rapidly? The Nuggets are beat up right now. Four of their five starters are injured. I just don't know right now. I don't know if I'm willing to say after five or six that they've won, that they've turned the corners.
Yeah, I mean, obviously got the Thunder in town tonight. If you could somehow scrape a win against them together.
No Draymond.
I guess we'll see. We'll see. That could, I feel like now, once upon a time when Draymond was out, it was like, well, that's not a good thing. They're you can't win without Draymond. Now it's almost like, I mean, yeah, we know what he brings to the court defensively, but these days, the last few, when you're seeing Draymond off the court, it's almost like the Warriors are playing their better ball. So out of Draymond out, does that give you a better feeling about the Warriors against the Thunder tonight? And maybe not, because the Thunder are just that good. But again, if you really want to see this team, you know, if they are going to get rolling, if you do want to see them get hot, getting a nice little statement win tonight would be a great way to kind of keep that momentum, however big or small it is, building up in the right direction.
Well, Steph is questionable with an ankle sprain. Tweaked that ankle with 24 seconds left. De'Anthony Melton's questionable. Al Horford and Trayce Jackson-Davis are probable, but you got to remember this is the front end of a back-to-back. And so, will the big dogs go tonight?
We got the Jazz tomorrow.
And you got the Jazz tomorrow. So, we may see some guys out. And if Steph's out and Draymond's out, it's going to be tough sledding for them against OKC.
If De'Anthony Melton, Steph Curry, and Draymond are out, are we going to see Pods play 48 minutes? Because who's going to handle the ball?
Pat Spencer as well.
Yeah, you're going to have to have Pat Spencer.
Pat Spencer game, I guess.
Big minutes. I mean, so, that'll be interesting. I'll tell you what, Draymond better be hoping they don't play really, really, really well.
Makes it a lot easier to package him with Kuminga and that Anthony Davis trade. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. I'm Sam Lubman. That's Carter Chickering. We got Bonta Hill and Evan Giddings also joining us here for the crossover. And we got one of the biggest games of the year on Saturday, and you know the place to watch and hang is going to be at Laughing Monk Brewing with Lorenzo Neal and the aforementioned Evan Giddings for the 49ers kickoff show. And of course, if you're going to, if you're going to go to that game, we got the free shuttle back and forth, and all you have to do is sign up at 957thegame.com. Better do it quickly, because seats on the shuttle are going pretty fast right now. That's 957thegame.com. All right, do we want to talk about this Niners Seahawks game we got going on tomorrow?
I'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
I got to ask you, Bonta. You're a fan too, so let me ask you.
Overnight dancers? That's what you want to talk about?
I gave him a shout this morning for you.
Yeah, good, thank
you.
Appreciate that. Look, does the Seahawks rivalry have the same allure for you still?
I'm hoping this game brings back that sizzle.
Yeah.
I was talking about somebody about that last week. I'm so old now, I forget the conversations I have, but it kind of lost its luster.
For sure.
It lost its luster, no doubt about it. And the Rams have become that number one rival in the NFC West. And then you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, they become a bigger rival for the 49ers just because of the fan bases between Philadelphia and San Francisco. But these are the type of games that brings a rivalry back. And you have the components for it, Evan Lubman and Carter, for it to be a rivalry again, to be that top rivalry next to the Rams. Jackson Smith and Jigba, Diamondor Lenore. Kenneth Walker, he's been trash-talking Diamondor Lenore. Lenore trash-talks the entire Seahawks team. McDonald against Shanahan. You got the Darnold component. You got this young defense flying around thinking that, hey, Witherspoon, I can lock down anybody, whether it's Ricky Pearsall, George Kittle, or whatnot. So you have the components for this rivalry being back. And you hope that it's a great game tomorrow night, a la 2019 when Drake Greenlaw made the great hit at the goal line there. So, but it did, Evan, you've been watching this rival for a long time. It has lost its luster compared to where it was a decade ago.
Yeah, and I feel like that's Seattle's fault, to be honest, not really the Niners. I mean,
totally agree.
The Niners haven't, they've had a couple of down years, but they've been pretty damn competitive. Since the Legion of Boom and Russell Wilson, they just have been kind of on the back burner. And even with Pete Carroll, you know, they didn't really have a quarterback after Russ. And Geno is a nice stopgap, but it feels like they've found a new one. And I think more importantly, they've gotten back to what made them so formidable during their success, which was defense. That it's a team that, we were all watching college football yesterday. It's like when you're watching Georgia and Ole Miss, like those guys hit. You can feel every single tackle. And for the last few seasons, I just don't really feel like Seattle has been a team that you think of as being a physical force. Is it, you're not walking out of that game with a list of injuries that the Niners have amounted this season. You're not walking out of that game feeling like, damn, like they hurt our guys. Or we're, you know, even if we got the win, we left battered and bruised. So if I'm going to be honest, if there's anybody's fault, and we could talk about it with Softy too, that's something I'm going to throw at him. If there's anybody's fault in this that it hasn't been that feeling of a rivalry, to me it's in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, and I do think, like, it's a good point. I do agree with you because, like, that 2019 game, it was almost like an inflection point of sorts to where it's like it kind of propelled the Niners into this, you know, successful era of Kyle Shanahan football. Whereas, conversely, on the other side of it, that loss that night was kind of the beginning of this little kind of rebuild the Seahawks have had to do over the last few years. And now you're finally seeing the fruits of that rebuild come to fruition here in this team and this defense where, I mean, we had Dick Fan on, Softy's co-host. He's saying that he ranked this defense up there with the 13-14 team's defense, the Legion of Boom teams.
Wow.
Now, of course, it's a little bit different.
I don't see a Cam Chancellor on the other side.
It's a little bit different in how they're doing it, but in terms of just how this defense has kind of been carrying the Seahawks team, well, you know, Sam Darnold, he's been struggling these last few games. He's been looking a lot like the Sam Darnold that we kind of like to pigeonhole him as, and yet the Seahawks, they're 6-0 in that stretch because the defense has been basically like however many turnovers Sam Darnold has accounted for, the defense has answered back. And so that's the defense has very much been keeping the Seahawks afloat. And if the Niners are going to win this game, I do think that when you look at how the Seahawks have struggled to score in the first half, this is a tall ask, but I need the Niners to come out firing and putting up big points in that first half. Try and blow them out in that first half because you know this offense is going to wake up for the Seahawks in the second half and start to make it close. The bigger cushion you have there, the better you're going to be feeling.
7 of the last 8 the Niners have won against Seattle, to your point, Evan, about this rivalry being so one-sided. And look, let's face it, the best defense for the 49ers is going to have to be their offense.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to score 30-plus in every single game moving forward. And do they have the capabilities to do that? I think they do. But this is a divisional game, and you guys know what I love to say.
They're
division
different.
Games are different.
It's
going to be mucky.
Potential hat t-shirt game,
that.
Too.
No, I didn't invent that. That was I'm not taking credit for that.
It was a Bob Spadoni, right?
Yeah. For some reason, I take Spadoni off with that. He act like he invented it. No, I just say it because some people think that divisional games are just going to be blowouts left and right. No, it's not.
Against the Cardinals. Maybe
against the Cardinals. Maybe. Yeah, they're down and out right now. But, I mean, look, the offense has to be clicking on all cylinders. Long clock eating drives, 10 play, 11 play, 12 play drives that take up 5 to 6 to 7 minutes. And keep Sam Darnold off the football field. Keep JSN off the football field. And limit your defensive snaps. Like, you don't want your defense out there for 70 snaps. You want them around there for about 50 to 55 so you can keep them off the field and you can get some situational stops, some timely stops by this defense here. Because if Darnold does get comfortable, he can throw the ball around. Like, he can sling it. We saw that last year in Minnesota when he, what was that, 98 yards, 97
Justin
yards?
Jefferson.
I mean, he can do that.
Yeah, he's got a cannon. There's no doubt on
that. Great throw over the football.
I think
great
that I'm aching, as you are, for this rivalry to come back. Before going into the season, this was the first year I'd really felt like we need to watch out for Seattle. Like, I hadn't felt that in previous, you know, in the last maybe 5-6 years. And so I think that it is starting to get its spark back a little bit, which is good because, you know, this rivalry with the Rams isn't fun because they don't have any fans, so there's no one even to talk to.
You can't
to,
talk
right?
to, yeah.
Yeah, with Philadelphia, you can't talk to them because they all belong in prison. I mean, it's just
well, they're just not fun to, yeah, Eagle fans, just, they're just not fun to argue with. Well, especially when they're coming off a Super Bowl win, you don't really have any ammunition.
They are some of the dumbest people I've ever come across.
I mean, just
they're an angry
dumb.
Fan base. Like, I mean, what are you angry about?
Wow, they beat the Buffalo Bills, and I get that it was ugly in the second half.
It was a fun game.
But they have 17 yards of offense in the second half.
Yeah.
But you won in Buffalo. You won.
That's
ugly.
Not impressive.
And they were still
games.
Bitching and moaning about the way they won. Yeah.
Well, that's just how Eagle fans are. They just love to complain about no matter what. It would be fun to have them come out here and put their fans through whatever
you,
ringer.
If you lose on Saturday, you're probably going to Philly.
Well, that's the other side of that. Yeah,
and it's tough. With all that said,
you're going to fly out to Philly?
Philadelphia.
Put them down now,
hey, listen,
but
I'll put their fan base down, but that football team,
it's legit.
I have a lot of respect for them. And I still think if you ask me to rank the guys or rank the NFC on a favorite to go to the Super Bowl right now, I'd still say Philadelphia.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't hate that at all.
I don't disagree with it.
People are not giving credit that they have been, their offensive line has been banged up the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you get that back intact, that's a serious football team to me. I mean, Evan, do you disagree?
I think, look, Philly's got... They got everything on paper, but you watch it, and this is actually, to me, why they're kind of like the antithesis of the Niners, but they're in a similar place. The Niners on paper, for the majority of the year, you're like, this team ain't it. But if you watch them play every Sunday, right, you realize why they win games. Philly is a team that on paper you look at and you go, damn, that's a squad. Yep. And then you watch them play and you're like, why can't they run the ball? Mm-hmm. Why isn't A.J. Brown getting open? Even Devontae Smith hasn't done a whole lot this year. Jalen Hurts is playing scared. That defense hits, but they're not as intimidating as they were last season.
No.
Now, don't get me wrong. Philly's a very good football team. But to me, they're far more intimidating on paper than on the actual gridiron, as opposed to the Niners, who when you watch them play, you're like, that squad might be able to do something. And on paper, you're looking at them like,
it doesn't make sense.
DeMarcus Robinson.
Right. Yeah. Does coaching matter in that?
Well, that's why I look at the Eagles, their OC, Kevin Petula or whatever. Yep. That's a fired coach walking right there. He's gone as soon as this season ends. He is, I think, just not knowing how to use that offense. I look at the Eagles offense, and sure, they might be struggling to put up points, but when you got Jalen Hurts, Saquon, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert in that very experienced offensive line, you know it's like a sleeping giant. You know at any point that they are capable of just exploding for 30 points.
Then why don't they?
I don't know.
No, seriously, like nobody's got the answer. I'm
no one
does.
Yeah.
Well, Lane Johnson's out. They're strong right tackle. He's been out for a while.
The running back thing is, right, that's exactly it.
Their offensive line's been a little beat up. They've had some injuries with Jalen Carter. And also look at their schedule. I can't believe I'm giving Philadelphia the benefit of the doubt here, but just on the outside looking in, you look at their schedule. They had a number one first place schedule, I should say. Their games, like, let's look at it for a second. I'm pulling up their game log right here. In the start of the season, think about how loaded it was. Dallas, Kansas City, the Rams, Tampa Bay, Denver. All right, you got a little joke with the Giants, and they lost that game on Thursday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Then at Minnesota, who we thought would be a lot better than the Giants. Then coming out of the bye, Green Bay, Detroit, they beat both those teams. They beat them.
No real downtimes in that other than, again, a divisional game here and there.
And when you're the hunted, when you're the hunted, exactly. It's different. It's different when you go into every game, and that's that opponent's Super Bowl saying, we're playing the champs tonight. We got to bring our A game. So once they get to the playoffs, they're going to have a sigh of relief like, all right, cool. We're
now
back in the postseason.
Now the real season begins.
Exactly. So I wouldn't count out Philadelphia whatsoever.
I also want to cape up for A.J. Brown a little bit. Like he's picked it up in the second half of the season here. He's had 400-yard games in the last six, and one of them that he didn't was against the Raiders where he only had two receptions. So I'm sure it was a blowout. So didn't watch
it
the
was
game,
a blowout.
But I could probably guess.
It's
it was
a Raider
blowout.
Game. It was a blowout. Be cool if it was a Niner blowout tomorrow night, though. Probably not going to be the case, though. But
not according to Ken.
Well, yeah,
he thinks
they're
going to be a blowout?
No, he thinks the Niners are going to lose, but he just has to be.
Thinks they're going
to
get smoked.
Well, he's a Jets fan, right?
Yeah, the Dolphins.
No, Dolphins are fine. Yeah.
Even worse. Just miss him for
the other stinky AZ team.
Even worse.
All right. Carter Chickering, I'm Sam Lumman. Evan and Bonte are coming up next.
Early?
Yeah, we're done. Crossover ends at 10:12,
and it's you got 20 seconds to fill.
Yeah, I fill it with some goodbyes.
Get us out of here so fast.
Right, damn, leaving us like that. I'm not ready to do 4 hours.
I want
to
hear for the last 20 seconds. I want to hear, Bonte, how excited you are for this Jazz game on Saturday night.
Yeah, I'd say George is playing at an all NBA level.
Dude, they
guys would know that.
Speak about shootouts. They can score.
Lowry marketed, Keontae George. Yusuf Nurkic, they're playing well in Utah.
Yusuf Nurkic.
Hey,
that's why Draymond Green's sitting tonight.
That's why he's next to
Nurkic's game, dog. Hey, listen.
He's got to get the shoulder warmed up so spin swings.
I know everybody around here doesn't watch League Pass. Keontae George can score.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need League Pass. I got you.
No.
All right. Evan and Bonte coming up next. Fun stuff, Carter. We'll let the Joes do it next week. All right. Evan and Bonte coming up next.